God is good, isn't he? Y'all feel anointing? Whew. Yes. Hallelujah. Would you turn to the book of Revelations, please? It's time to get a revelation, an impartation, and a manifestation. Revelation chapter 12. In verse 1, would you start with me? Now a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a garland of 12 stars. Then being with child, she cried out in labor and in pain to give birth. And another sign appeared in heaven, behold, a great fiery red dragon, having 7 heads and 7 horns, and 7 diadems on his heads. His tail drew a third of the stars of the heaven and threw them to the earth. And a dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth to devour her child as soon as it was born. She bore a male child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up to God and his throne. Then the woman fled into the wilderness where she had a place prepared by God that they should feed her there 1,260 days. Now, I want to share a couple things quickly about this because the woman is also a representation of Israel. Okay, the book of Revelation speaks about things that were, that are, and to come. In fact, this whole Bible speaks about things that were, that are, and are to come. But you've got to discern by the Spirit of God what he's given you, what period of time he's speaking. Does everybody understand that? Because God's word is eternal. Always was and always will be. Now, the Holy Spirit will bring you direction in what part of time or sequence he's speaking. Is everybody with me? The reason why I brought this up is I want you to understand that even though through the world right now everybody's celebrating the coming of the Christ, amen, that there is a fight going on. Not only is there a war in heaven, but there's a war in the natural realm because whatever war is going on in heaven, it's manifesting in the natural realm. Amen. And in this, because you and I are celebrating the birth of Christ, the coming of the anointed one and his anointing, there is a fight going on, isn't there? You think that the devil and all of hell is celebrating the birth of Christ? Why? They lost that battle, didn't they? They lost that battle. In fact, the Bible says if Satan and his kingdom would have known about killing Jesus, they would have never done it, would they? They would have never crucified him. So we know that birth was a battle that was won. In other words, Jesus went the whole way, all the way to the cross. Is everybody with me? So that you and I could be birthed. See, when he was pierced in the side, water and blood came out. In fact, he was pierced after he died. Does everybody get it? He had to be pierced after he died because life comes out of death. So he was pierced after he died so that you and I were birthed, just like Adam, God put him to sleep. Jesus died. In other words, he was put to sleep. And then the rib was taken from Adam where a woman was birthed. Amen. That same place where Jesus was pierced is the same place where the rib was taken from Adam. And then the bride was birthed. Do you all understand that? See, the bride of Adam was birthed, then the bride of Christ was birthed. And that's where you and I come in. Does everybody get it? Amen? So we see that there is a battle. Now, you understand this. Now, God is using you to birth things of the Spirit. Isn't he? So do you think that there will be a battle? Of course. That battle is in the spirit, and that battle never ceases. The devil is always going to come against you. He does not lay dormant in the areas of attack. He just does a new strategy. Hello? He does new strategies. He knows how to deceive. He knows how to prevent. One of the things he tries to always do is separate the flock. He always tries to separate the flock. See, that's why it's so important about fellowship, isn't it? Amen? Does everybody get it? Y'all all right now? Glory to God. Now, turn to the book of Luke. Let's try chapter 2. Luke 2, verse 8. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you: you will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, laying in the manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe laying in the manger. Now this is powerful. You got to understand something. Why did God reveal through his angels to the shepherds? Why didn't he reveal to all men? You know, I mean, where did he go? He went to visit the what? Shepherds. Why? Because they are the shepherds of the flock. Understand this. The great shepherd had to reveal to the shepherds. See, everything that Jesus was doing, there was always something connected in the natural realm and representation of him. The great shepherd was now coming in to take his flock. Does everybody get that? So he revealed to the shepherds that were in the fields. And then he told them where to go. And they went to go see the great shepherd. Is everybody with me? There was something very powerful that he said. He said, there is what? Peace and joy. Two things that are important. Peace and joy to all men. And you're going to see why he said this. Go to verse 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the what? Lord's Christ. Now this is important. The Lord's Christ, the anointed one, and his anointing. No longer a formula or a past word or past phrase or past formula about anointing. Does everybody get it? See, there was a formula they had for the anointing oil. No more about that. They use the anointing oil to put on people. Not that they still don't. Amen. But this time, the anointing was coming. The anointing oil that they used in the past, in the Old Testament, was now being fulfilled. Not only was the shepherd coming, not only was the Savior coming, this is the Lord's Christ, but now the anointing, the presence of Almighty God, has now penetrated all fold of space and time and entered into the natural realm of his own creation. He had to come into a human form. Amen. And in fact, anointing means rub. So God came to rub on his children. He came to rub on them. You know, you rub against God, something changes. You touch his glory, you change. You touch his heart, you change. See, so that's why when the anointing of God, he came so that you and I could change into his image and likeness. Amen? Is everybody with me? Oh, hallelujah. Now we see that it was no longer a formula or anything associated. In other words, they were using creation that God created to make into a formula to put on man. Amen? But this time the Creator was coming to be put on man so that they could change. Go to Romans 14. The Lord's Christ. And what did the angel say? Peace. Right? Peace and joy and good on earth and peace with men. Because the Christ, the reconciler, has come. Romans 14 and verse 16. Therefore, do not let your good be spoken of as evil, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and what? Peace and joy. Where? Where? In the Holy Spirit. Wow. So do you understand that the Christ has come, what? To bring you power. See, the only way that this can be manifested, in other words, the kingdom of God is not manifested by just word alone. It's manifested by power. So the Holy Spirit is the only one who can manifest the power of the Christ. Does everybody get this? Now listen, so when he came, and the child came, he died, right? But he was birthed by who? The Holy Spirit impregnated Mary. So if you look at it, the father of Jesus was the Holy Spirit. Amen? But see, the Holy Spirit, because the Bible says God is Spirit. And God birthed and came into the natural realm, but he came from the bosom. The Bible says that Jesus came from the bosom of God. So God took a part of himself and put on flesh and came into the world. But God Almighty came into the world and called him son. But see, the people didn't know him of the Old Testament as the Son of God. They knew him as the Christ, the Messiah that would come. They didn't think about he was going to be the Son of God. Does everybody get that? See, they only knew about the Christ. They only knew about the one that would come to rescue them from, and of course they believed they would be rescuing them from the hands of the Romans. But who was behind the Roman Empire? Satan. Amen. So we see now that the Holy Spirit came upon Mary to birth the Christ. And then he just couldn't go upon anybody and birth the Christ. Because there had to be a price to be paid. And that price was the death of Christ to be spread to everyone else. Amen? So now the Holy Spirit can come upon any man to birth the Christ in them. Hello? Glory. Yeah. That's why it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost is the kingdom of God. Hey, the kingdom of God is power. It's anointing. It's the presence of the King of glory. It's the Christ. Amen. Go to Acts 1:8. I want you to see this. I want you to get it imparted. So if you haven't been baptized in the Holy Ghost yet, this may sound strange now, okay? Now don't get freaky on me. To be in Christ, you must be baptized in Christ. I didn't say baptism of water. The baptism of water is a representation of remission of sin. But to be in Christ, you must be baptized in Christ. Do you get it? Why? Because without the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the kingdom of God is not manifested. That's all you can do is go around and plant seeds of salvation. But you can't cast out a devil. You can't lay hands on the sick. The Christ, the Lord's Christ, man, they were waiting for the Christ. They had enough of the Word. They knew the Word. But the Word was bringing revelation to them that a Christ would come. And they were all waiting. And they waited. And they waited. And they missed him. Well, they were waiting for machine guns, automatic, you know, weapons, and Jesus to come as a warrior and to kill everybody and rescue them. But he came in love. See, they got so caught up in religion, and they thought they were better than others because they knew the truth, but they couldn't obey it. See, they got the law. Yeah. Okay, we carry the law now, man. We know the truth, and you don't. See, but in that it brought separation. It brought religion. They became self-righteous in the area where They knew the law, but they couldn't obey it. Then they justified why they couldn't. But see, they were waiting for the Christ and missed him. You know, that's still going on now. People have received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, but never been baptized in Christ yet. Because they have no power. Hello? Ooh. Acts 1:8, let's read it. I mean, Jesus said it himself, didn't he? That's why John came ahead of time. He said, listen, man, somebody's coming. I'm telling you, the light, the Christ is coming. He says, I baptize you with water for remission of sin, but he's coming and he's going to baptize you with the Christ, with fire and the Holy Spirit. See, that's the Christ. Okay, verse 4. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them. He did what? He didn't ask them, did he? He commanded them. In fact, what he was saying, listen, I'm going to have to depart. I've been hanging with you 40 days after my resurrection. Give me 10 days. Just 10 more days to fulfill the next feast, which is Pentecost, meaning Penti, right? Which would be 50 days from his resurrection. He said, hang 10 more days. I don't care if you order Domino's pizza. Hang up in that room. Don't budge. I'm coming. And I'm going to send you somebody. The same Spirit that allowed me to walk in this natural realm. The same Spirit that raised the dead. The same Spirit that cast out devils. The same Spirit that allowed access to my Father, who I had a relationship with. That same Spirit that helped me pray. That same Spirit that brought me revelations and dreams. That same Spirit that moved in the gifts of the Spirit. I'm going to bring to you. Just hang out for 10 days. Now he had 500 of them. And now I went, yeah, yeah, let's do it. Great. Only 120 of them did. The rest of the 380 went to the Feast of Pentecost by the traditions of men instead of listening to the one who created the feast. And they 120 of them went and hung out in the upper room. And man, they got slammed. Yes. And they were never the same. The other ones had to fight to be changed. And then Jesus changed them by his Spirit and they became children of the Christ. Glorious. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptizes with water, but you'll be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days from now. And in verse 8, and he says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be witnesses. You will be witnesses of what? The kingdom. The Christ. Amen? You'll be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. In other words, this ain't stopping. Hello? If people would just read that whole scripture, they might get it, that this was just not for the apostles or the disciples. Because he said, to the end of the earth. In other words, I'm going, whew, it's flowing, bro. Go to Matthew 17. The Lord's Christ. I keep seeing this sphere, like, you know, all full of electricity and, you know, full of love. You know, look at, we harness electricity. They still don't know where it came from, but they use it. I think the Lord sneezed one day and produced electricity. Okay, you can use that. It's anointed. Praise God. In Matthew 17, is everybody there? In verse 1. Now after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, led them up on a high mountain by themselves, and he was transfigured. He was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as the light. In other words, man, this, here he was, the Christ. He was showing them who he was. They could barely see him. They were like, whoa. And his love was radiating and ripping through them. You know, this electricity that we harness, you touch it, you catch a bzz. But it ain't love. It's awakening, I can tell you that. But it can kill somebody. Amen? But this electricity, this power that comes from Christ is ripping love. I can tell this to you because I've been in it. And when my visitation from the Lord came and I was taken in this cloud, yow! That's why Moses glowed, but he didn't hang out 40 days. And this only took 3 seconds. I was done. I was fried, cooked, brand new. Come out of the master's oven. And his love ripped right through me, blinded me, changed me, healed me, freed me, and removed every foul, unclean thing that was in me and manifested right next to me. Why? Because the anointing. Oh, the anointing. The anointing of God. We talked about this before. See, when you abide in the anointing, you abide in the Lord, and the Lord abides in you. That's why sometimes you just realize that something just, you got free from something. Whoa. Hallelujah. See, the devil's acknowledged the anointing before you do. Amen? That's why you get free. That's why people are bound and miserable. Why? Because they're not abiding. They're not, the anointing is diminishing. Or they haven't been baptized in the Holy Ghost yet. But it's our responsibility to maintain that anointing, isn't it? So we see here, here you are. I want to introduce you to the Christ. It's Matthew 17. He was transfigured. Now, behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with him. Then Peter answered and said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, let us make here 3 tabernacles for you. One for Moses and one for Elijah. Of course, you know, their carnality was saying, let's do something. You know, they wanted to try and harness this. All right, let's make tabernacles. Yeah, let's put them in here and we'll come and see you every once in a while. We'll come and see you every Sunday. You know, people do that. They show up on Sundays, Christmas, Easter, you know. Then they think they've done their holy vow. And they all go out and become heathens or disobedient when they leave. But here they freaked them out, man. Those guys were, you know, John and Peter and James. They were like, whoa, okay. Well, of course, Peter was the only one that spoke out. I think the other two were still in shock. And he said, well, let's build a tabernacle for them. And verse 5, it says, but while he was still speaking, he was interrupted. Thank God. Behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. And of course the disciples passed out. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their faces and were greatly afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, arise and do not be afraid. And when they lifted their heads, they only saw Jesus. You know what happened? They saw the Christ. They saw the Christ. They couldn't contain it. They couldn't handle it. One day, my wife and I came back from Brownsville. We were there a few days. And, you know, you could feel the presence of God. It was very sweet. You saw a lot of things happen, whatever. And when we came back, I was crying out to the Lord, and, you know, for certain things and whatever. And so we got in the living room and we were getting ready to show this video that we had brought back. And so mom was there and another woman and my wife. And I put this video in and I began to watch this video and everybody's watching a video. And all of a sudden, because I didn't see this video, it was the first time I had seen it. And I saw the pastor behind the pulpit. All of a sudden I saw the glory of God hit him. I mean, I saw the glory. And I said, my God, Lord, that's your glory. And when I said that, it hit me. And all of a sudden, from inner, it was like this breath was just flowing out, and it was like light was flowing out of my mouth. My head just went up, and my mouth was open, and this, and the next thing I know, I started flipping and a flapping like a fish out of water. I looked like I had an epileptic seizure. I had no, my flesh could not contain the glory of the Lord. I was flipping and flapping. If we would have recorded it, we could have done, that would have been a new Holy Ghost shuffle, let me tell you. You couldn't have imitated that. No man can imitate something like that. And I was flipping and flapping on the couch, and they're looking at me, and my wife knowing, because where we came, you know, we came from seeing all of this. You know, Mom thought about calling 911. My wife says to Mom, quick, grab the coffee table. He's going to go through it if we don't move it. So they moved the coffee table out of the way. As soon as they did, I went flying off the couch. I was, you talk about holy roller. I was still flipping and a flapping, and I was rolling and rolling and rolling and rolling back and forth, and all of these languages were flying out of me. I'm telling you, I spoke French, I spoke Japanese, Korean, all these languages were coming out of me. And then I saw the face of the Lord came in the living room and said, be not dismayed that I've come to dwell with you. And then all of a sudden I settled. And this language is still running. And then he said to me, now lay hands on everyone in this room and impart in them the desire for the lost. And I wasn't getting up, so they had to come down. And when they came down, I laid hands on them and prayed that. But I'm telling you, that electricity was intense. The power of Christ changed me again. Never the same. Interceded for the lost. See, we can never lose the hunger for the lost. Never. Never get so caught up in your own self and what you have and what you've learned and what you've done. When there is lost, still going to hell. That's why the Christ came, didn't he? He came to bring salvation. He came to bring love. The true light of power, love, and eternity came into the natural realm. Oh, glory. Turn to John 1. John chapter 1 and verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but born of God. Ooh. So we see here that here we have those who believe in him have the right to become children. He had to come as a child to give the right for someone to become as a child. Does everybody get it? Everything that you and I are granted to do is something he's already done. If he didn't do it, then you and I don't have access to do it. That's why he came as a man. He came just like any other flesh creature. Right? Except for his flesh was the Word. See, but the Word became flesh. Now your flesh is to become the Word through the anointing. Oh, hallelujah. 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. And the battle continues. The devil still resists. He resists you from knowing. He resists you from learning. He resists you from prospering. He resists you. He wants you to stop. He's going to come against you in every area. That's why the Bible says resist him. and submit to God, and the devil will flee for you, from you. 1 John chapter 5, is everybody there? In start at verse 1, first five verses. It says, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ, in fact, in the Bible, every time you see Jesus, it should be Jesus the Christ. In fact, the word Christ is a Greek word, but the rest of the Bible is English. So it should be Jesus the Anointed One and His anointing. Hallelujah. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Now think about that. First of all, most people don't even know what the word Christ is. They know it as Messiah. They know it as Savior. But they do not acknowledge the Christ is the Anointed One with the anointing and the power of God. He is the Christ. Glory. Now, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves Him, who begot, also loves Him, who is begotten of Him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and what? Keep His commands. In other words, you're abiding then. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And His commandments are not burdensome. Why? Because you can't do it in your own flesh. But you can do it in the anointing. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. Glory. Overcomes the world. What's in the world? Lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, pride of life. Overcomes the world. Doesn't mean you won't be tempted. Doesn't mean you won't be attacked, but you will overcome. Who's ever born of God? That's why it's a state of being. If you are born again, if you're in a state of being born again, you overcome. Why? Because the anointing is there. And the devils can't, they got to flee. That's why there's the three chambers of the tabernacle. The outer court, the holy place, and the most holy place. Right? See, when you get saved, you're saved. You're conceived. But when the Holy Ghost comes and birth that seed, you are born again. And the anointing is there. But let me tell you this. It is a state of being also. Because you can eventually go back to that state of falling away. See, that's why it's our responsibility to maintain the anointing so that you stay in the state of being born again. That's why Jesus said, come and learn from me. Oh, hallelujah. Verse 4 again. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. Praise God. That's simple enough. I mean, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure that out. Although, hallelujah, the devil does cause confusion and all kinds of stuff. Whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world. Our faith. Wow. Our faith. So, see, if you believe, you follow. What are you following? You're following the Lord by what? Faith. See, the more you abide, the more the anointing of God is on you. The more the presence of God is expressed on you and through you. The more you have victory, you'll have more victories if you're walking in that state. You'll have more failures if you're walking in the saved state than the born-again state. Because it's the anointing. Remember, the anointing is what came into the world. Amen? Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Praise God. Believe Jesus is the Christ, overcome by obedience to the commands. Go to 2 Corinthians 5. Glory. Oh, you're going to see this differently. Listen, I'm not trying to. That's why they call it Christmas. Christ Mass. It's a fellowship. You know what you remember what those masses are? You know, when you were a kid? Everybody hit a mass. Didn't hit you, but you hit it. And you went in there and you came out the same way? Christ, well, it was a representation of gathering. It was a representation of a a celebration or a feast or a representation. So they gather to acknowledge the Christ. That's what they call. It's not Xmas, it's Christmas. Hello? Some people put the X there, you know, for Christmas. They're actually cutting him off. But most people don't know that when people celebrate Christmas, it's about the coming of the anointed one as anointing. Think about all the years that we celebrated Christmas with the wrong attitude or deceived knowledge. You know, we looked at this little baby in the manger, goochie, goochie, goo. Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's God. Yeah, we'd say it's God, but it was hard to believe there was God in that baby. You know? But see, when we understand it, he had to become all things so that you and I could become the child, so that we can be born again. All of these things he had to do or we couldn't get it. Glory. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Oh, it's a wonderful day. Whew. Go on, lift your hands to heaven and get a drink. It's okay. It's nobody will scold you for getting a drink. Praise God. We're going to be celebrating a holy day. Every day's a holiday, man. Every day's Christmas. Every day's Thanksgiving for me and you. Every day's a Sabbath. That, hey, what did he say? He said, be joyful. How are you going to be joyful? You need to get drunk. Lift your hands to heaven. How are you going to get some peace? Let me tell you, you need to get rid of yourself. Go ahead, lift your hands to heaven. Thank you, Lord. Peace, joy, and righteousness in the Holy Ghost. In the Christ. Glory. Woo! 2 Corinthians 5, verse 16. Come on, read this with me. I want you to get this. The Lord's Christ, that's what we're talking about today, right? Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. In other words, we're not acknowledging the flesh part anymore. Does everybody get it? We see, when we mention the name of Jesus, we're not talking about the Jesus anymore of the natural realm. It's the name of the Christ. I mean, don't get me wrong. There's no problem with having a picture of Jesus. You know, it reminds you what he's done. But that's not who we're acknowledging now. We're acknowledging the Christ because Jesus, the Christ, had to come and put on flesh and come into the world so that you and I could receive his Spirit. The Spirit of Christ. See, but, you know, the religion is still... The religion still got him on the cross. You know? They still got him on the cross. They're still... But he's not... That's why he said, don't acknowledge Jesus anymore in the natural, in the flesh. He came as a Jewish boy. Amen? Amen. We got somebody that agrees in here. And but he's no longer Jewish. He's the Christ. But the Jew was chosen to spread the message of the Christ. If you'd have chosen the Italians, we would have had trouble. That'd have been too many concrete shoes around. Hey, I got to offer, man. You can't refuse. You accept Jesus or die. So he knew he had to choose the Jew. Praise God. Go ahead, you can drink some more. It's all right. It's supposed to be called Fun Day, not Sunday. Glory. So, We're not to acknowledge him in the natural anymore. Amen? He's the Christ. Go to verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is what? In other words, if you are baptized in the Spirit, you're in the Christ. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a what? New creation. I want to share something with you. When people accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you know, they're not all brand new right away, are they? In fact, you know, they go around, yeah, I'm born again. Praise God, let's go party. Yeah, I'm born again. Let's go fornicate. They're not born again. Hello? They're not in a born again state. See, if you are in Christ, if you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, you become a new creation. Old things have passed away and all things have become new. I'm telling you, you see differently, you hear differently, you speak differently. Amen? Now, sometimes it's instant. Bam! And sometimes it's gradual. I sure wish it was instant for everyone, but, you know, like Quaker Oats, 5 minutes, poof, you're done. Everybody eats, all right, praise God. Just dress it up a little bit and wolf it down. But it's not that way, because God knows exactly how to deal with a person. Sometimes he's waiting for that person to get in a position where they truly cry out to God. See, because your prayers actually cause circumstances in people's lives. Because your prayer can't rescue nobody. You mean my prayer doesn't rescue nobody? Nope. What your prayer does is causes a circumstance in that person's life for God to rescue them. Hello? Now let's go a little further. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus the Christ, and has given us a ministry of reconciliation. So listen, there is a ministry when you are in Christ called reconciliation that's been granted to you automatically. What do you mean? Why? Because didn't he just say when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you'll be a what? Witness. A witness will always cause reconciliation. So you see that automatically you've been given a ministry of reconciliation. Wow. And verse 19, that is that God was in what? Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Wow. Now go to verse 20. Look at this. You don't only have a ministry of reconciliation, but check this out. Now then we are what? Ambassadors for Christ. Ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God. So two things happen here. You have a ministry called reconciliation, and you become an ambassador of the anointing. Has everybody got it? So that when somebody gets saved, you don't say, okay, just go your merry way. Accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and see ya. No, you introduce them to the Holy Spirit. Why? Because it's your responsibility that Christ be birthed in them. See, that's why I don't like Jesus going out and telling, oh yeah, Jesus will save you. Yes, he will. But too many people accept Jesus and run. They're not willing to do whatever it takes so Christ, the character, can be birthed in them. They become religious. They become very offensive. All kinds of things are real, because that's the flesh, isn't it? And you got to remember, what's the devil doing? Trying to prevent you from turning into the fullness of Christ. Oh, see, now that Christ dwells with us, he wants to have his way in every area. So he comes in there and he begins to knock you off your seat, you know? All right. Your lust for money's got to get out of here. That pornography's got to go. and all those other things that are associated with the world. Your rebellion's got to go. See, now you've got to agree with him, or he'll only push so far. Say, come on, turn it over. And if you refuse, then okay. He won't force himself, will he? Glory to God. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved, to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, to be testified in due time, for which I was appointed a preacher and apostle. I am speaking the truth in Christ and not lying, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and in truth. Wow. The Lord's Christ. Go to Philippians 4. In verse 10, you know, there's a difference when you are baptized in the Christ. You no longer go to bars. Hello? You no longer compromise in those areas. You don't promote the things of the world. You just don't do that. You've come out of the world. You don't laugh at dirty jokes. It's appalling. There are things that you no longer do because to you then, the things that you thought were clean or funny are now dirty. Because of the purity of Christ that's within you now begins to change. It begins to change you. You no longer, when you find yourself exaggerating, you get convicted. Oh, sorry, Lord, I exaggerated on that, and I'm sorry. There's no longer covering up or justifying the things that are not accepting to God. They're being exposed now. There's no more blaming everybody for your stuff. There's now acceptance of taking responsibility. No more hiding, but telling the truth, because you're realizing that these things are making you more and more free. You know? There's no more area of wanting to do it your way. You become more surrendered. And because in Christ, you're beginning to know who He is, and you're beginning to trust Him. You're beginning to realize now, you become more sensitive that everything that's going on around your life, He's there. You know that. I know if my wife comes up and rubs my shoulders, I know the Lord is sending her because I must have a problem there. Does everybody understand that? So you begin to look beyond the veil. It's not just the things in the natural realm. You see things differently. You have new eyesight. Things are wonderful. You should have seen when the Lord restored my wife and myself, and she saw me. She thought I was bonkers. Of course, I was. I wasn't of this world, and there was a definite amen to that. I was looking at plants that I never saw, bugs. I thought, whoa, look at the colors of that. I mean, there were things I just never saw. I couldn't see beyond myself. And I began to see, and I began, because you know what? I began to recognize that God's creation was awesome. I mean, whoa, look at these trees. Look at the bark. I mean, you know, you look at this human body and go, whoa, look at, I got blood flowing. How can it miss? I mean, it does what I say it does. You know, I can move this leg. This is incredible. I'm a spirit in this earth suit. And it obeys. Whoa, I can move my leg, everything. I mean, come on, you can't tell me that there ain't no God. Wow. Hallelujah. Philippians 4. Did we go there yet? 4:10. But I what? Oh, hallelujah. What are those two things? Peace, joy, and righteousness in the Holy Ghost. And I what? Rejoice. Don't hang around miserable believers. Depart from them. If they say, where are you going? Aren't you going to help me now? Lift the book up and send them to their closet where they can go pray for a while. And if you're miserable, don't tell nobody you know Jesus. Because then people go, how are you doing? I thought you were a believer. I am. But I'm still waiting on the Lord. Ooh, happy one, aren't you? Go to the drive-thru, get a happy meal, and you'll be okay. Hallelujah. Go to the drive-thru of Jesus and get a happy meal. Amen? But I what? Rejoice. And we sing that, rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again. Though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity to express it or to show it. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am.
Hello?
Whatever state you be, to be what? Content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound everywhere, and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Ha ha. Are you ready? But I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. In other words, you can do all things through the what? Anointing. Oh, glory. All things. Hallelujah. Go to Colossians 3. In verse 1. Is everybody there? Let's read it together, please. Colossians 3, verse 1. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above where Christ is. Where is he? He's above. Hallelujah. Sitting where? At the right hand of God the Father. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Praise God. You don't have to figure it out. You just got to believe it. Trust. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth. Why? Because we do not want to nullify Christ. Fornication, uncleanliness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, who is renewed in the knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Whoa! Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. So we're going to appear with him. Hallelujah. Does everybody get it? Good. Let's go to Ephesians 5. In verse 11. And he says, okay. And have no fellowship with the fruitful works of what? Darkness. But rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, which is the Christ. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore he says, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Whoa. Ephesians 3 and verse 14. For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. Now go to chapter 4. Hallelujah. So we know that the Spirit of Christ is within us. Now we've got to learn, don't we? See, without the Spirit of Christ in you, it's difficult to learn. That's why Paul said, man, how are you going to get it? Jesus even said it. Listen, if I tell you the things of the earth and you can't get it, how are you going to get the things of the Spirit? Well, you must have the Spirit in you to get the things of the Spirit of God. That's why he says in chapter 4 and verse 11, and he himself gave some to be what? Apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. For what? The equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullest of the fullness of Christ. So that must be learned. That we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro, carried with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men and cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, by the voice of the stranger. You know, people are still being led by the voice of the stranger because they have not learned Christ yet. Oh, hallelujah. But speaking the truth in love may grow up. Hello, everybody say grow up. In all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying itself in love. Glory to God. The Lord's Christ. Everybody got it? Good. Everybody get it? Good. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Now, Father, we thank you for the Spirit of Christ. And we ask, Lord, that this seed, this revelation, and this impartation will be protected by the blood, sealed by the Spirit, to grow and bear fruit for your glory, that we may pass this information, maintaining our ministry of reconciliation and ambassadors of the Christ. In Jesus' name.